Glory to God. So this is a great day. If you're a backslider on your way back, you've picked a wonderful time to come back into the kingdom of God. If you are making commitments to God for the first time and in past years, you perhaps have made resolutions and didn't keep them. This is a good time to keep your resolutions about your life in the kingdom of God. It's a great day to set a new vision in your life and to enlarge your tent and to take in more territory in the kingdom of God. But I guess the thing most on my heart tonight is you need to find your area of giftedness. You need to know what God has called you to be and called you to do. And when you find it, you're going to find something that triggers a depth of joy in your heart and in your experience you've never known before. That's the sweet spot where you live for God and you have tremendous contentment and tremendous joy in your life. When you find that place that God has called you to and you literally step out and begin to walk in it and walk in it in excellence, life doesn't get any better. Doesn't get any better. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know exactly what we'll do here. We use quite a bit of the schedule tonight in prayer, which was wonderful and beautiful. And I love what God is doing. I'm a little bit opposed to keeping you late on a Sunday night. And so we'll just kind of move into this and see what we can accomplish. The good thing about expositional work is that we can start where we want and stop when we want and not lose a thing in the world in the bargain. But I sure am enjoying the presence of God in this house tonight. It's like a river of living water in this place. Do you sense that? Is that real for you tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Why don't we just stop for one more second and take somebody by the hand or lay your hand on somebody by you. And let's just let the Holy Ghost flow in the house tonight. Hallelujah, yes, Jesus. God, we say yes to you. God, we say have your way, oh Lord. God, mighty God, do the thing you love. Do the thing that pleases you. Our lives, our homes, our families, God. Have your way, oh God. Have your way, oh God. Don't hold back. Just let that go. Whatever the Holy Ghost is doing in you, just let it go right now. Just, hey, we give you praise. We magnify you, Lord Almighty God. Hey. Worthy, Lord God Almighty. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to somebody by you and tell them, I talk in tongues every day, don't you? Now, don't lie. I talked to Sister Judy here before service tonight. She's loving her Bible study, Sister Deborah. And I'm excited that she's in a Bible study with you. I talked to Brother Lamont just now. And it's Lamont and Michelle, right? Monica, I'm awful. But you help me. Pray for me. Pray for my... I'm old. See, I have a... But I've always had this problem, you know. But anyway, you guys are having Bible study with Sister Charlotte. Praise God. It will blow you up. It will change the way you think and the way you approach God. Somebody that knows it to be true, say amen. Amen. Praise God. If you've never had a home Bible study, you need one. It will revolutionize your life. It'll revolutionize your brain. If you've never taught one, this is the year. This is the time. I have a passion and a desire that everybody in this house would teach a Bible study before the Lord comes. At least one. Just one. Come on, Caleb, look, you're blowing out in all kinds of different directions. You're becoming an excellent guitarist. You're winning tournaments and blowing away the competition, even in-house competition, in quizzing. And now you're ready to teach a Bible study. I mean, it's easier than quizzing. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Praise God. If you love his word, as you're seated tonight, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Come on, lift up a big voice. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord, for your word, for the privilege of handling your word. Thank you for it, mighty God. Praise God. So this morning, we were talking about the fact we're wrestling against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we're talking about that, and you have to back off and get an understanding about the fact that all of this is God's plan. It's not the evil camp of Satan against the good camp of God, and somehow there's this great cosmic war going on. This is all God's plan. God created it. God has given power to lying spirits and false prophets and demonic forces and Satan himself. Can't retract that tonight. We covered it this morning, and it's standard equipment in the Bible study. But you need to understand that, because you're in a war and you're in a fight, and you need to understand why. And if you have questions about why would God do that, it's as simple as the threshing floor that John gives us in Matthew chapter 3. We are on the threshing floor of God, and God has put, as sure as he put a tree and a snake in the garden for Adam and Eve to test them, according to Deuteronomy chapter 13, he wants to know if you love him with all of your heart, and he's given you a frame and a staging area to demonstrate that and to prove that by making choices, by demonstrating your faith, by what you do, saying no to everything that's not like God and yes to everything that is like God. We do it every day, and it pleases God. That's the place where you win or lose. That's the place where you are saved or you are lost. Praise God. And so God set this in motion. Now, as to why God does what he does, there are a lot of questions yet unanswered. I don't know why he put an ear on either side of your head and the nose in the middle of your face. It would have been a lot more entertaining if he'd let noses just develop somewhere at any level. But God has a reason and a rhyme, and you don't know why God chose bilateral symmetry, but there it is, and we deal with it. And we don't know why he did what he's done with the establishment of the framing, the staging area of this world, and our threshing floor. But we know where we are, and we can read the word of God. And so now we're wrestling, and it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and rulers of darkness. And so here we are in the arena of life, and we're exercising will, and we're making choices, and the process is evidently necessary to God's purpose. This walking through this life and making these choices is apparently necessary for the end product that God desires to achieve. Praise God. I came up at the end of the Vietnam era, and when it came my turn perhaps to be drafted or to go into military service, then you could sign up, but everybody was drafted. It was called conscription. And all the way from our early wars down through the Vietnam era, you were just drafted. And the old song says, you're in the army now. And it just means you're here and you can't get out. You're there and they own you. And I don't know what you're doing with the rest of your life, but I know what you're doing for the next few years. You're going to, whatever they say is, and up is up and down is down, and whatever they decide, that's what it is, and their color is the color of the day, and their beans are the way it ought to be done, and you've just got to walk that way, or you're going to have a lot of trouble in your life. You're in the army now. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you're in God's army now. Come on, there's not a choice in this. You can say, I don't want to be in God's army, but that's spiritual suicide. You'll just walk out and go straight to hell. But if you don't want to be lost, if you want to live for God forever in heaven, you're in the army now. And what God says is what is. God's way, God's purpose, God's will, God's word, and God's design. Now, that is that's the easiest part of this. And every failure in terms of people trying to live for God can be reduced to that one thing, the exercise of your will over God's will. I don't care what the label is, what the sin is, what the situation was, what the tragedy was, how it all played out in your personal narrative. None of that matters. The final analysis is simply, you chose your way over God's way. But once you get the revelation, we're in the army now. And God may call at 2:00 in the morning, and when he does, it's yes, sir. Speak, sir. I want to hear from him. Somebody say praise the Lord. And just like in the army, there's this hierarchical authority structure. Praise God. Now, I'll set some fires in the house tonight, but I'm just going to tell you right out of the word of God, it's God, Christ, man, woman, and he doesn't mention it, but children. So all the children said, amen. Come on, say, yes, Dad. Yes, Mom. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That's right. We were reared up right. We say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. But you really need to get this, because when you're doing that, you're not just serving people. Because we don't war against flesh and blood, we don't serve flesh and blood. You're working for your boss, but not really. You're working for the boss of the whole universe. You're working for God. You ought to be the best employee on your job, not because of whoever it is that has a title over your title, but because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has sent you, just as surely as Joseph walked into Potiphar's house and did an excellent job in everything that he did, just as surely as Joseph prospered in Potiphar's house and in prison and in the house of Pharaoh, God has sent you into that place where you are walking right now as an emissary of the kingdom of God, and you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but it's about spiritual things, and your responses have to be spiritual in nature. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise God. But as we tidy up from where we came from this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. It is in the human condition to say, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. But the scripture says otherwise. Everybody knows the trouble you've seen. There's a crowd of people that already walked where you are walking right now. And you think you're unique and you think you're so very special, but somebody else has already walked. And beyond that, there are folks already in glory that made the right choices while walking where you're walking right now. And there are already people in hell who made the wrong choices while walking where you're walking right now. So where you're walking right now is very important. It's another day on the threshing floor, and the decisions you make are eternal decisions. Praise God. The temptations that we experience are common to man. The devil will tell you, nobody's ever suffered like you've suffered. Nobody's ever wept like you've wept. Nobody's ever, yeah, they have. Yeah, they have. And they got through it too. And they stood on the other side and said, God is good, and God is able, and God is worthy, and you got to do that too. And there's going to be a little pain, and there's going to be some work, and there's going to be a struggle, and you may have a night of weeping, but joy comes in the morning. The temptation is common, but God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. Come on, in the middle of your trouble right now, somebody say, God is faithful. In the middle of the pressure right now, somebody needs to really, really promote that. My God is a faithful God. My God is a good God. My God never fails. My God cares about me. God knows where I am. He knows my number. He knows my address. Do you believe that tonight? Come on, the devil's been lying to somebody. Somebody shout, God is faithful. Give somebody a high five and tell them God is faithful. Touch somebody, shake them a little bit and say, God never fails. He's not going to fail me now. He's the author. He started it, but he's the finisher. He's going to be there when the dust settles. And if you make up your mind and you make right decisions, you're going to be there with him when the dust settles. Have you made up your mind? Have you made up your mind? Are you going to be there? Praise God. And God is so brilliant in what he does. But each of you has her own story. And God is crafting it. He's the author, the finisher. He's crafting it. And you're fulfilling your purpose and your role in God's divine destiny and God's tapestry of universal things. And you're important in your place. And it matters how you respond. And there are things hanging in the balance. And there's great potential and something great to be revealed and something great to be experienced as you say yes to God. Does anybody want to see what God has for you, for your house, for your family, for your prayer life? Does anybody want to see? Brother Ken, we wouldn't sign up to walk where you're walking right now. You wouldn't and I wouldn't. We wouldn't walk and we wouldn't sign up and say, yeah, I want sarcoidosis. I mean, I can't even spell sarcoidosis. But that's where you're walking right now. And you're on the threshing floor. Did God do that? No. Mankind sinned, and because of sin came the curse, and because of curse came sickness. And here we are in the mix. But God set that system in motion and allowed every bit of that. So here we are, and he is no less your God, and he is no less faithful because you're sick in your body right now. Somebody needs to get victory over that right now. Well, praise God. He's God when I'm healthy. He's God when I'm sick. He's God when I've got money. He's God when I'm broke. He's God when people speak well of me. He's God when all men speak ill. He's God. And he's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. Praise God. He's faithful, and he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Somewhere on the back of your collar is your tensile strength, is your breaking point. God knows exactly where your breaking point is. Praise God. Tasha, how many surgeries you've had in the last 2 years? See, this is bad. She can't count them. She's had more surgeries in a week than I've had in 60 years. But God knows your tensile strength. God knows your breaking point. And he will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you are able to withstand. Praise God. I'm going through it, but that's it. I'm going through it. I'm going through it, but that's it. I'm going through it because it's not going to break me, and it's not going to stop me, and it's not going to cause me to doubt God, because God knows my breaking point, and he's already made me a promise. He's already told me I'm an overcomer. He's already told me greater is he that is in me than he that is in. He's already told me I can do all things through Christ. He's already made me a promise. And so this, come on, you need to look right in the middle of your trouble tonight, and you need to say, this is not going to break me. Praise God. This is not going to ruin me. This is not going to stop me. This is not going to cripple my faith. Come on, you need to say that tonight. This is not the end of me. This is the beginning of a new page in the story that God is writing about my life. Praise God. My God, somebody just needs to shout about that a little bit right now. Just but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. Praise God. You've been in some places where you just have to say, I know there's a door in here somewhere. You'd be like Wendy Bagwell at the Snake Handlers Church. He said, reckon where they want a door. The implication is I can make them a door here real quick, you know. But wherever you are right now, whatever you're experiencing right now, there's a way. of escape. God has a parachute. God has a back door. God has a way. And in that way, there's victory and there's promise and there's fulfilled potential. And the plan of God is going forth in your life. We're wrestling against principalities and powers. And those things are in the ether all around us. And they're in the earth and they're in our very flesh because we come out of the nature of Adam. And we've got all of this entanglement with these things. But we've got a gift down on the inside of us that is heaven-breathed and heaven-born. And we belong to God. And His name is on us and His blood covers us. And we will not be stopped nor defeated by the things that hell wants to bring into our lives. We've got a promise. You've got to get your head up. You've got to get your praise up. You've got to get your faith up. There's a way out of this. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I'll just tell you where I came from. I hear Jimi Hendrix singing right now. And he's singing, "There's got to be some way out of here," said the Joker to the thief. Anyway, you get under the crunch of it. You get under the pressure of it. The oppressing hand of the enemy in your life. You just need to say, "I know He knows my breaking point, and this isn't it. I know He knows the way that I go, and He's directed my path, and He's instructed me in righteousness. And here we go. This is another day in the kingdom of God, and we're not going to lose, but we're going to win. And God's purpose is going to be unfold." Now, Abraham named the mountain that God had sent him to slay his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And you're very familiar with the story. Abraham's making his way up. Isaac has the wood on his back. He's carrying it, and he is a type of Christ. He is the only begotten son. He carries the wood up the mountain of sacrifice himself. Abraham tells Isaac God will provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. And when they get to the top of the mountain, there's a ram there, which is sacrificially a different animal, but it wasn't that prophecy that Abraham uttered was fulfilled when John the Baptist turned and spoke of Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." But on that mountaintop, God revealed himself and he stopped Abraham's hand as he was coming down with a dagger on his son and said, "No, don't do it. God just wanted to see if you really loved him with all your heart." He said, "Now I know." And then Abraham names the mountain Jehovah Jireh, or "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Anybody want to see what God has for you? That response is tepid at best. But I understand your caution. Because you go shooting your mouth, "I want to see what God has." And God says, "Come on." Some of you that have been around the block a time or two with God, it's like, "God, you go on. You tell me about it when you get back." So you're a little hesitant to say, "I want to see what God has." But you know in your heart, you see it on the Mount of God, which means you get the directive from God as Abraham did. You make up your mind. You prepare yourself. And you make the journey up the mountain. The ram is coming up the other side of the mountain, but you can't see it. You don't know the provision of God, but it's on the way. But you got to get on the mountain to see what God is doing. Jehovah Jireh, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be. You've got to take the trip with God. You've got to make the commitment. Come on, listen to me. I feel revival in this house. I feel a pulse of something that God is going to do here. It's going to rock the house and rock your life. And it's going to be wonderful. And it's just going to be one of those years of revival. But I want you to understand, you're not going to see that without having gone to the mountain of God and said yes to what God has for you. Don't be afraid of him. Anybody here not afraid of him? We're not afraid of you, God. We want you to have your way. Come on, I want you to tell him that right now. God, I'm not afraid of you. I want you to have your way with my life, my home, my family. That is essentially what an altar is all about. We bring everything that we are and everything that we love to an altar. And we say, God, have your way. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to stop. The downside of doing expositional stuff is there's no place to get off. You just have to say, okay, I sure do love what I'm feeling in this house tonight. And I just tell you, God wants to use you in what he's doing. He wants witnesses and people to testify and folks to minister and people to engage in new types of ministry and people to go into prayer like they've never gone into prayer, because everything in the kingdom of God moves by prayer or by prophecy. It will not happen without it. Not in your life, not in the life of the church, not in the life of a revival in a city. It all runs by prayer. So this year, somebody's got to get down and say, you know what? I've been playing around in the shallows in prayer, but this year I'm going to dig myself out of place in prayer. This year I'm going to see what God has on the mountain of his calling. Praise God. Somebody needs to learn to push the plate away and say, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. It's a radical idea, but there's some places you can't go in the spirit without fasting. And so you just need to not, and you know, we've done it every conceivable way, but there is no way in a corporate sense to achieve what you can achieve in your individual approach to God. It is by nature a lonely place. It is by nature a wilderness place that you don't, God doesn't drag you down into it, but you say, I want to get closer to God. And God says, make your way out into the wilderness. That's where he talked to Moses, and that's where he overcame the devil in his incarnation. And the wilderness is just this marvelous place, and you'll feel it. The moment you step out into deep prayer, and the moment you step out into a commitment to fasting, it's like it can't possibly be physiological, because you're just an hour into it, but you already feel the wind blowing through your soul. It's like, ooh, this is the wilderness I'm entering into. The flesh doesn't like it, and I hate fasting. Let me be perfectly clear. I hate fasting, but there's some places you can't go without prayer or fasting. This is going to be a year for that. Somebody needs to step up and say, hey, you know what? I've never really experienced that. I'm going to do that this year. I've never really walked off into a place in prayer all by myself. I'm going to do that this year. That's what we got to have. We got to make our way to the mountain of God. We are wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers and spiritual wickedness, and we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. The victory is not going to be a natural victory. There's going to be a spiritual victory. There were stones at the crossing of Jordan, 12 buried in the river, the invisible memorial, 12 buried, 12 established as a memorial at Gilgal, a visible memorial. There's going to be a visible evidence of what God is doing. But for every victory we see in the natural, every victory we see in the visible, someone will have won a victory. It'll be covered up by the waters of the Spirit. You won't be able to see that, but it was in that place where you dug down and you got stones up out of the depth of the river, and you built a monument in prayer and a monument in faith and a monument in obedience to God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just lift our hands right now. Lindsay, come on now. Let's help. Mighty God. Worthy God. Ha. Let that Holy Ghost just come up from down in the depth of you, a river of living water, a well springing up right now. Tell God what you're willing to do. Tell God what you want to see. Tell God all about that. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord, church. Brother Sutton asked me to go ahead and share with you guys what I'm going to be doing in Guatemala. So, you never know what's coming next around here. But I have some pictures and stuff to show you guys. But I wanted to tell you how much I've thoroughly enjoyed spending the past few months here at home at New Life. There's nothing like it in the world, anywhere else you go. But I wanted to thank you for your warm support and loving me and let me teach your kids. And it's just been awesome. It's been a true honor. So most of you know the story about how I ended up in Guatemala for a year and how I went from working in the adoption agency in Mississippi to the orphanage and the Bible school in Guatemala. But I'm going to share a little bit more about how the work in Guatemala got started. Guatemala is a land of many contrasts. There's shabby houses and dirty streets and begging children. There's extreme poverty. And it's all framed by this backdrop of gorgeous architecture, ancient Mayan ruins, and breathtakingly beautiful landscapes. And it's roughly the size of Tennessee. Guatemala is home to 14 million people. And it has one great tragedy, and that's 370,000 orphans. So if you can picture the population of the city of New Orleans, it's about 370,000. That's what that many orphans looks like. So there's an average income of $4 per day. So there are a few resources available to help these that can't help themselves. And I've got some statistics on Guatemala. Let's see. There we go. The chronic malnutrition rate for children under 5 is at 50%. The chronic malnutrition rate in indigenous areas can reach 70%. 53% of the population lives in poverty, and 10 children every week are killed due to violence. So it's easy to see that the need in Guatemala is extremely great. So the question became, like, what can we do about it? So several years ago, there was a local pastor who began working in a prison ministry. And he quickly realized that most of the inmates had actually been street children that had been abandoned that found a family in the gangs. And that's when God began to deal with them, and he began to show him, like, if you can reach the kids before they get to this point, God can work in their lives and it can prevent all this destruction. So the pastor shared his vision with the missionaries, and they formed a home for the children in need. And that all happened in 2006. And for 5 years, they had over 50 kids come through that facility. So in the same time period, God was talking in Florida. And through the process of adopting their kids, Rodney and Marcy Weekly, their eyes were open to the needs of children around the world, and they wanted to do something about it. And since Guatemala is the birthplace of their two youngest children, they decided to do something there. And it was then that they came in contact with the missionaries and with their orphanage. So during that time, Guatemala was experiencing some changes in adoption. Any of you guys who know anything about international adoption know that what Guatemala went through. But the laws all changed, and the old facility no longer met the strict new requirements. So something had to change. So they closed that facility, and the ministry began anew as Home International Guatemala. So this is what I'm working with. This is the background of how I got started, since several of you have asked me. In August 2011, Home International was registered with the Guatemalan government. And since then, we've purchased close to 4 acres for the site of our campus. Then construction on the property is well underway. We've completed the external wall. We've renovated the existing building that was there. And 11 of the 14 buildings are up. And the goal is to replicate a family structure within each of the homes. And there'll be 10 homes, so it'll serve 100 children. And I was honored to be asked to serve as the director of this ministry. And as you can see, it's not a small task. There's a lot of work ahead of us, but I know that God has big plans for it, and I'm so thrilled that I can be a part of it. There's just no telling how the lives of these kids will be changed. And I really believe that whenever we impact the kids of Guatemala, we can change the future of Guatemala. I think of Clara Luz. There's a little girl. This picture's coming. She passed through our doors several years ago whenever I was in Guatemala before. And she was severely malnourished. She was abused. She was overwhelmed by fear. But we were able to offer her food, shelter, and most importantly, the peace and hope found in Jesus Christ. And there are literally thousands of children just like Clara Luz, just like this little girl, who are waiting to hear that there's hope, waiting to hear about Jesus. And I'm going to close with a little video, but I wanted to thank you guys for supporting me. This is such a big project. There's no way that I would take it on if I didn't know it was right where God wanted me. And there's no way I'd take it on without knowing that I have a whole church family behind me that's praying, that's supporting me. And I just love you guys, and I'm so thrilled to be a part of New Life.
Who here among us has not been broken? Who here among us is without guilt or pain? So oft abandoned by our transgressions, if such a thing as grace exists, then grace was made for lives like this. There are no strangers, there are no outcasts, there are no orphans of God. So many fallen, but how?
We're so excited about what God's doing in Amber, and I thought it was really appropriate tonight. We're talking about spiritual warfare and actualizing what God has planted in us so that we can be effective to achieve the purposes of God and the desires of God. Amber has prepared herself well spiritually, and she's prepared herself well in natural ways. She went to school and got her degrees, and she's perfectly positioned now by burden, by apostolic experience, and by her trade. She's perfectly positioned now to do this work. She has, if you would, she's ascended the mountain of the calling of God. And she wouldn't think of it in those terms because it's fun when you're in that spot and you're doing that. But she's worked in orphanages here and adoption agencies here, and she's traipsed off to Nepal and walked in dusty streets filled with needy little kids that don't have any hope at all. She is so perfectly positioned for that. This church needs to support her in what she's doing. And I want you to, as we will probably do something formal next Sunday night, but this week I want you to think about her, and I want you to think about that work, and I want you to think about what you, your family can do to support her while she's there. Can you say praise the Lord? Everybody in favor of this said amen. Praise God. Now, on to you. What are you going to do? What are you going to be? Not everybody's going to be an administrator of an orphanage. Sometimes God will shut a door in your face. You'll think, I'm going to go here, do this, be that. But all along, he's directing your path and ordering your steps. But I don't know what you will do, how it will be realized, but I do know this. God has a calling and a gift for everybody in this house tonight. I want us to spend just a moment or two seeking his face, looking to God and saying, I'm willing to make the trip up the mountain of God. I want to be effective in spiritual warfare. But I want you to show me, God. I want you to give me clear direction as to who I'm going to be in the kingdom of God and what my ministry, what my gift, what my calling is going to be. And I think right now, there are things going to emerge. We had no idea that Amber was going to be doing this. I did, though, walk right here. She was sitting right where you're sitting, Melissa. And as I stood in front of her, the Holy Ghost said, it's the spirit of Nona Freeman. And it would be years before that would be actualized. But I believe she's walking in a spirit that has all the potential that Sister Nona Freeman walked in. Don't want to put a burden on you, just telling you what the Holy Ghost said. What will you be? God uses people that say, people that will say yes. Let's stand together. Praise God. The altar's open. It's a little later than, but we don't care. If you already know what you're going to do for Amber, she'll take it tonight. You can commit tonight. But she'll be leaving us in February. We need to get all of that lined up. Come on down to the altar. Let's seek the face of God. Let's call on his name. Anybody needs the Holy Ghost, you can have it tonight. If you need to be baptized, we'll put you down in the water tonight. But we're making our way up the mountain of God tonight, and we're calling on him. Jehovah Jireh, in the mountain of the Lord, it shall be seen. We want to see your glory. We want to see your power. We want to know your ways. We want to know your plan, oh God.